CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Jennifer Loudon, author of The Life Organizer, on the show with us. And if you'd like to get more information on our guest, you can go to fireitupwithcj.com and scroll down on today's show and you can find more information on our guest. You can also follow CJ on her Facebook. It's Fired Up with CJ, same name as her website. And you can follow her there and get in contact with her. And right now, we're going to go right back to CJ and our guest, Jennifer Loudon.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Fired Up with CJ show. And happy holidays, everyone. We're doing a pre-record today, but we are going to be talking about some tools that you can use throughout the new year coming up. And in the previous segment, we were talking about Jennifer's plans and how someone who thinks very much about balancing doing and being what her Christmas and New Year's are going to look like. And in this section, we're going to be talking about diving that into a little bit more deeply. So you know those days when you feel like you don't have enough time to do anything, life is an utter chaos, and you just feel kind of lost, confused, but you have so much to do that you can't think about it? Well, yeah, that's every day for me. No. So Jennifer, that actually was every day for me in my previous, before my sabbatical, where I was rushing around all the time with no time to contemplate. And Jennifer has 5 steps in her book, The Life Organizer. Tips, stories, prompts to focus your needs and navigate your dreams. It's a heart-based approach to living. And I was wondering, Jennifer, and welcome, Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks.
So tell me, what are the 5 steps that are in your book?
I have to tell everybody, it takes longer to describe them than it does to do them.
Okay.
So before you all start to go, oh my God, I am never going to do any of this, I want you to know that those crazy moments that you were just so beautifully and insanely just like describing made me just like, oh, start to have anxiety attacks. When we're in them, our nervous system and our less developed, our reptile brain, the oldest part of our brain, is hijacking us. And we literally can't make the choices and the decisions that we need to make because the more higher or developed parts of our brain are not available to us or like offline. And so this 5 steps get those parts of our brain online, and they get our heart brain, the 40,000 plus neurons in our heart, hooked up to our cranium brain. So you're doing something for yourself that you need to do if you're going to regain that calm and that ability to navigate, be resilient, come up with the idea for the meeting that starts in 10 minutes, you know, not snap at the kids again. If you don't do something like I'm about to describe, it's almost impossible to reach those creative and mindful and patient states that you're wanting from yourself because your body's just not going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here they are. Connect, which is take a breath, feel your body, feel the chair supporting you, feel the floor under your feet, feel your clothes against your body. Remember you have a body. Connect with that energy. 10 seconds. Inquire. Ask yourself a mindful question. We've been talking about some of them today. What would love do was the one I was going to ask at Christmas. I'm going to ask at Christmas. A really, really practical one is, what's the best use of my time and energy right now? Mm-hmm. You're trying to decide between all those conflicting things. And then listen, see what bubbles up. Don't dismiss it immediately. We're getting information from our heart and our intuition all the time, and we're dismissing it instantly. Not practical, don't have time. And that keeps that hyper arousal going. Mm. And then allow yourself, as I just said, to listen, and then do something with what you hear. Even if it's just, you know what I just need to do is take another breath. I need to go to the bathroom and take 30 seconds to actually go to the bathroom because I actually really have to. Right? Who listening goes through the day going, I'll just answer one more email before I get that drink of water or go to the bathroom. Right? So life organizing begins to help us at that very minuscule level, and that quickly can snowball into more and more of that inner spaciousness and resiliency. And that inner spaciousness and resiliency is what we most need in these times we're living in.
You know, it's funny because there's this another book that I read was by Buddha, Lama Suryadas. It's called Buddha Standard Time.
I love that book.
It's a fantastic book, and one of the things that I started doing as a result of reading that book, and I think your five-step process is just right on, is taking – and what I've started doing is taking the times that I started dreading, like picking up the kids, which is a 25-minute drive back and forth full of stoplights all the way from my house over to the kids' school. There's like probably 20 stoplights. It's just infuriating, and the highway's worse. So – what I do is I just take those 20 stoplights. I'm exaggerating. It's probably 10. But I take those 10 stoplights, and I use each of those as a contemplative moment to do those five steps. And they really don't take that long. They take as long as a stoplight would take to go through. And you take something that you would dread, sitting at a stoplight, and you make it an enjoyable experience, which is you get a twofer as well. You caught yourself.
I love that. That is brilliant. And how many of us are allow ourselves to, and I'm raising my hand here, allow myself to be victimized by modern life and to become a blamer and a whiner and a negative Nelly, right? Yeah. My husband and I are constantly working on that with each other, with as much love as we can bear, like, oh, honey, you're doing it again, right? You're going there instead of choosing. I mean, what you're talking about is mindfully choosing. That's the biggest idea in the whole book. It's the biggest idea we can have in our lives.
Now, we talk about some questions that you ask during Christmas and during the holiday season. How about daily? Are there certain questions that, you know, to kind of, that you bring in every day and ask yourself before the morning or the day begins or as the morning closes? Or as the day closes, excuse me.
Right, as the day closes, the morning closes, the afternoon. what do I really want is a question I've been working with for years. It's very hard for me to navigate my life by what I want. I'm wired to serve, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's also a way to hijack your own dreams and desires and to become a martyr. And so I'm always asking, what do I really want? Like, even in minuscule moments, we went to a wine tasting party Saturday night, and we were invited to taste white wines and red wines. Red wine makes me sick, even those little tastes I was going to have. And halfway through, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it because I think I have to.
No.
What do I really want? And so often when I work with women on retreat and coaching, this question like makes them angry. Well, I can't have what I want. It's like, well, how do you know if you're not even asking yourself?
Yeah, and when I ask that same question with coaching, the question that I usually get is, how do I know what I want? I don't really know what I want, right? Which is something we, as women, I think, as givers, we forget to even know what it means to know what you want. So almost practicing it daily. But, you know, and it probably was hard for you initially too. So what were some of the tips that you can offer folks who say, I don't even know how I know what I want?
That is the smokescreen of fear. This is what I've learned. The confusion, I don't know. It's a story that we tell ourselves because we're afraid to know. So I practice having so much compassion for that fear when it arises, whether it's, I can feel it, I can tap into it right now, and I start to feel nervous. So developing that awareness, this is a smokescreen I'm putting up because I'm afraid to know what I want. And I may spend months or years there, and it'll come in little, it also, what you want comes in like goldfish or carp under deep water, right? A quick little flipper. It doesn't come in with an angel trying, you know, hello, this is what you want. It's not Moses with a, you know, burning
right.
bush.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to get up and stretch. Oh, but I can't. I have to. But so we start to trust those little flickers. And then we little by little, I have an art table behind my desk. And I often get little flickers. I just want to get up and draw for a little bit. Oh, you can't. You have to finish this. But if I do, I might find 2 minutes of that. And suddenly I have an idea for the blog post, or I'm more present for my next client. But it's those little, so it's trusting the flickers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had one of those flickers not so long ago where I thought, well, I really should be doing this. I'm like, no, but what do you really want to do? And I thought, you know, I want to go over to the bookstore. And when I did, I was blessed with finding these incredible books that just inspired me for weeks. So it's one of those things that you just don't know, but And I think that when you actually do what you want, little magic happens. That's the good news, right? When you actually do tune into those little desires, you know, there'll be a little surprise. So there'll be a surprise along the way, because I think the universe wants us to do what we really want to do. And so the first couple times when we follow that, little magical things happen. I mean, no elves or anything or unicorns, but magical kind of things.
The other thing that happens is we follow something we think we want and we do it and we're not fulfilled and we learn that way too.
Yeah.
So don't judge yourself if you think what you really want is to sit down and watch 6 hours of Breaking Bad and, you know, eat an entire pint of ice cream. And at the end of that, you're like, oh, I feel awful. I can't trust myself. Oh, no, no. You just learned that maybe there's a deeper impulse underneath that you need to wait for. Maybe what you've learned is what you really need to do is have that uncomfortable conversation with your best friend that you've been putting off for 3 months. I'm busting myself on this. And you're covering it up, right? Covering it up with what I call shadow comforts in the book.
The whole idea of whenever I'm watching too much TV or I'm eating usually bad things, I think it is. It's actually a strategy to cope with something that you're not really coping with. Right. Mm-hmm. And so even that, I think it's a great reminder that there's knowledge when you're doing things that you end up kind of feeling regretful for. There's still actually knowledge in that.
And there's knowledge in everything if we're willing to bear it with compassion.
Yeah. And I think actually imagine using your 5 steps, right? I just ate ice cream. Connect. I feel like crap. Inquire. Thanks. Why did I eat that ice cream?
Right. What was I looking for? What was I wanting?
Yeah. Listen to your body. What is it saying at that moment? You know what? I'm actually eating this ice cream because I feel bad about an interaction I have with my friend. And then allow you to just feel bad, right? Instead of kind of running away from the feeling of badness, just, okay, I do feel bad. I'm going to honor and recognize that I'm feeling bad. And now I will take action, call my friend up and apologize. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. And there's so much that when we encounter ourselves with compassion and awareness, there is room for it all. It's when we're judging and pushing parts of ourselves away. Ooh, it's not okay that I did that. Ooh, I'm so bad. Oh, now I'm fat and bloated. Oh, I'm a bad person. That's when we get more and more away from ourselves. And then we go into the doing and the busyness. And let me make up for it by, you know, hand sewing every Christmas present.
Okay, we have Jennifer Lawden, author of several best-selling books, talking about her newest book, The Life Organizer. And up ahead, we're going to be talking about one of the blog posts. She has a wonderful blog post. And one of the most popular was the idea of taking the hero's journey, which she calls Shiro's. Is that how do you pronounce it? Shiro?
Shiro.
Shiro's journey during the next year. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that means and how you can take your hero's journey next year. We'll be right back.